What if I'm visually impaired? 7 out of 10. From the outset, we've been discussing aligning objects, 3D management, and so on. I guess you might be a little worried if you have difficulty perceiving environmental details. Rest assured, Ninja Theory hasn't forgotten you. It starts with the menus. While some games may have a few options for better menu visibility, this game's the grand slam. In the accessibility section of the interface menu, you can adjust menu size and color for optimum visibility, including shades of gray for the color blind. If that's not enough for you, there's a built-in screen reader, in French SIC, which you can adjust in the menus. Translator's note, English language menu narration is also available. Finally, the menus are placed over a dynamic background, a scrolling fog. As it's purely cosmetic, you can disable it if it disturbs your view of the menu. In-game, as explained earlier, gameplay uses a lot of environmental observation and analysis. Hellblade 2 plays a lot on surprise, with enemies hidden in fog or shadow. In combat, as illustrated in the introductory video, you have to find the right moment to parry. During an enemy attack, if the aura is orange, the attack is normal, but if it's red, the attack is unstoppable, so you'll have to evade. For puzzles, you need a good sense of 3D perception and perspective to align the elements. This is even more necessary during exploration phases, with stone faces blending into the background. Admittedly, the latter aspect isn't essential to the game itself, but it's still a loss of information about the game's world. So we're going to need a technique to compensate for all this. You have several interesting options, including filters for all three forms of color blindness that also apply to the menus. This is important because red is used a lot, especially for puzzles. The pieces to be aligned are often in red to make them easier to see. Yellow is also used, but it's a less problematic color. In puzzles where the world is mirrored above you, elements that differ from your world appear in greenish hues. In addition to filters, the game has several clues to tell you that you're approaching a piece of a symbol. You'll find pieces floating everywhere in the air, you'll hear a special sound and the joystick will vibrate. These clues are often accompanied by music. There's even a game phase where you have to move from one shelter to another or risk getting hit by a flame. Here, the music comes in handy to help you know when to jump from one shelter to another while running. If ever you have trouble noticing these color variations in the flames, the rhythm of the music will help you. As for playing with low vision or being vision impaired, we looked at information in the environment. The camera always remains behind you, and it's not static. In case there's an obstacle, Sinua stops walking, and the sound of her footsteps stops, too. But when you reach a ledge or a step, sometimes the race goes on. In the exploration part of the game, areas that can be crossed over and zone exits are often indicated by white chalk marks on the step or ledge to be crossed. And they aren't identified by any sound. This lack of certainty will make the game difficult. If you don't see any visual cues, you may go in circles in the zone. All other aspects of exploration are just impossible. Faces hidden in the surroundings and symbols aren't signaled by any sound as you approach them, so you're bound to miss some. Hellblade 2 natively offers in-game solutions like music and vibrations, but the most interesting things are found in the settings, notably color management. The game should, therefore, be playable by a lot of people, but it's still lacking in some aspects. Admittedly, exploration is secondary, but a few sound markers would be enough to make it accessible.